T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I think in those moments, he has the ability to make those plays. I think you know with someone like Jared Goff that he's not going to be able to make those plays. Like, he's not going to be able to step up in a pocket.
The Saints.
Scramble. I watched him against the Niners and the Patriots.
Sure.
And he just wasn't – you just knew he wasn't able to make those plays.
I will say he's 4 years younger than Jimmy. So
Jared Goff, who's, by the way, Novato, I think. Native, so
shout out, Bay.
Yeah, let's not go at.
But what I'm saying is, I would define him. The Rams proved they could get to a Super Bowl with him, and he made some plays.
That's
all I'm saying with Jimmy at this point. I want to see him in those situations against a good team where they're like, I need Jimmy to lead us to a field goal right now. Like, there's no punting for the next drive.
So you made a good point. I mean, not a good point, but this is the next discussion point for us because. You know, Jared Goff has Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp didn't play towards ACL, but they have Todd Gurley, and then they had Brandon Cooks. So they have a lot of weapons on offense. They have a great offensive coach, as do the Niners. The Niners finally got someone that's kind of on that level. Emmanuel Sanders.
He's good. And to me, I think everyone's saying they finally got a number one receiver. I think they already have a number one receiver. Is their tight end?
Mm-hmm.
I think they finally got a good receiver to go with him, so teams don't have can't double Kittle. In some ways, it reminds me, like, who's been the number one receiver for the Patriots the last decade? Gronk.
Well, a decade, yeah.
Gronk has been the number one, but they always had Edelman. They had various receivers, so you couldn't
just
double
enough.
Up on Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where, you know, they had nothing going. And watching this Niners team, I mean, I think you and I both like Deebo Samuel, but he's a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
It says a lot when your most, you know, maybe your most productive receiver is a rookie. That's not a good place to start. Marquise Goodwin, he's kind of a guy. He's going to make some big plays. He's going to have some quiet games, but he's not a reliable guy.
Mm-hmm.
Manny Sanders is a guy who starts for every team in the league.
Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders is not a number one receiver, but he's as good as a number two.
He's not Julio.
He's
not those guys, but he's still an upper tier receiver.
Yeah, he is. He is as good of a number two receiver as you can find. And watching some of the last couple games, even that Washington game where George Kittle is going down the middle and he's obviously Jimmy G's favorite target, and they've got, you know, the safety, they've got the linebacker, they've got a nickel corner looking at him the whole time. It's like, my goodness, because other teams are not scared of Dante Pettis. Dante Pettis played a whole game and didn't get a catch, right? Dante Pettis is probably going to end up being like a decent receiver one day, maybe like a number three or two, but it's like, it's his second season. He's not even close to being that finished product. So they really, nobody is scared of those guys.
And now you can do some interesting things. What if you put Manny Sanders and Kittle on the same side? Who's the safety going to shade over? Now he's got weapons. Now it's going to be interesting. I want to see more out of Jimmy. The schedule is going to get tougher. He got a receiver. It's going to be interesting. Now, I want to ask you, Andy, what are you expecting for Emmanuel Sanders this week? Because, I mean, he got traded on, was it Tuesday?
Yeah.
It's not really realistic to, you know, the Niners are in a good spot where they're 6-0. It's not like they're 3-3 and they need him to contribute right now. They really need him to be on the same page come playoff time.
Yeah.
But what do you expect in the short term? What do you expect in this?
I do expect him to look like he's on the, like, not exactly on the same page. By the way, somebody asked if Manny Sanders is as good as Tyreek Hill. No, that probably not.
No,
probably not. Just because Tyreek Hill can finish a game in like 3 plays, and Emmanuel Sanders is more of a not possession. But anyway, my expectation is that he's going to look like someone that has played for the Niners before. He'll probably get, like, I would say somewhere in between 4 to 6 catches, depending on how many times they need to throw. He the offensive coordinator for the Broncos, who he played on before, was, I believe, like the quarterback's coach for the Niners, like as much as last season. So some of the offense is going to be similar to Kyle Shanahan's. I did read that he was still confused on a couple plays, but I think it's going to be fine. I don't see the transition being that big.
Yeah, I'm really curious how many plays is out there this week. If I had to,
half the snaps, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, Shanahan said, how much are they going to play? A lot. I think we're, probably a few weeks away from him playing playing like a true number one receiver, he's out there like 80 to 90%.
If they're losing,
yeah, it's one of those things where you can't expect someone to know the full playbook in 1 week. So there'll be times where they just have to send other receivers in there because they want to run stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with like the Patriots too, right? The Patriots could never get a receiver, especially they don't draft receivers, or they try and it always fails because I think it's just their offensive system is very. It's great, but it's confusing. It's like Shanahan's. And so the guys need time. But also, that also helps Sanders, who's someone who's a veteran for 10 years in the league.
He's going to pick it up quicker than younger guys.
Dante Pettis.
Yeah, exactly. But let's transition back to the NBA. What do you think about that, Andy?
Well, we did like 15 minutes to the Niners. We did pretty good.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco. A radio.com sports station.
Ooh.
We're entering the last hour here. If you want to join the show, 888-957-9570, or you can text the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. So a week ago, before the season started, NBA.com released the GM survey. Polled all the GMs. We don't really know if the GMs entered it, but someone in the front office responded. And it was just a variety of questions. So I kind of want to go down the list with some of these with you, Andy. Who will win the 2019-20 Kia MVP? The GMs went 52% Giannis. Number two was a three-way tie between Steph, AD, and Kawhi. And then fifth was Jokic with 7%. Where are you standing on that?
I don't think Anthony Davis should be in there. I think that's someone that, unless LeBron James is going to spend all season saying how great Anthony Davis is, I just don't think that's a guy that wins MVP unless they win 60 games. The Lakers not going to win 60 games. So I would like to...
I don't think he is either because it's just hard to be the MVP on the same team as LeBron.
It's just factual. Kawhi Leonard, does he play enough games?
Certainly looked like it the first two games.
Yeah, like he can be the MVP, but I think a lot of this stuff is like, is Kawhi even going to play 70 games? I think he plays like 65, right? Like, that's low management. He's not going to play all the games that you need to win
it. They are saying he's going to play more games this year, but
he barely made it through last season.
I'm kind of with you. If I can't see them making the decision between pushing him so he can win an MVP or resting him more so he can win a title, choosing the MVP.
Yeah, love of the game. They're gonna want to win the MVP instead of winning. Or sorry, want to win a title instead of winning the MVP.
Let do, baby.
Yeah, you already know.
All right, but the favorite.
So
Giannis.
That gives me two.
Do you like Giannis?
Yeah. So I think that's. So I think Giannis actually regresses. They lost to the Heat tonight. It's one game, but that's not that's not an elite team. They won 60 something.
They won 60 last year.
60 last season. They don't.
You think they might win like 54, 55 this year?
Maybe a little bit lower. Not lower than that. I'm saying, but that's around there, right? Like I think 55 to 58, right?
Okay.
60 is a good round number. It's like 60 wins. Like
only team to win 60.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Steph should be right there. I think Steph should be just as close as winning MVP as Giannis. I do. We just got news at first from Wes Goldberg, who covers the team from the San Jose Mark. Kevon Looney is going to be out for a while. Some weird injury.
I guess Looney's not winning the MVP.
No,
but that hurts Steph's chances because for Steph to win the MVP, they would need to be a very comfortable playoff team. And
well, do they?
Yes, they do.
Russell Westbrook.
They were a six seed and won 48 games.
48 games.
Do you think the Warriors win 40? Anyway, this is a different subject.
I think Steph should be right up there. I think he should be right up there.
I kind of like Jokic, who's number five in the voting right now. I think Denver may be a sneaky bet to do what Milwaukee did last year, which is win 60 games. If they win 60, we know who's going to get the lion's share of the credit there, rightfully.
Nikola Jokic is your MVP pick, Sam.
Well, I'm just going down this list.
60 games in the Western Conference, first off, is not going to happen.
if they're the one seed, let's go down this list, okay? If Giannis regresses, so you're saying he won't win the MVP, okay? Anthony Davis, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. No chance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not no chance. Little chance. Kawhi, I'm also with you. I think he's going to sit 15 games. So that alone should probably eliminate him, even though he's probably the best player in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, it's
not surprised. You're correct. That's right.
And Steph, I think he can win the MVP. I don't think he can win the MVP if he has to play with Marquise Chris and four rookies. He's fighting an uphill battle, but I don't mind. I don't necessarily disagree with Steph being a guy who may have a shot. The other guys listed, LeBron wouldn't surprise me. The Lakers win a lot of games. We know there's a segment of the media who really wants to build the legacy.
Correct. Correct.
James Harden, I don't know. I can't see Harden winning it next to Westbrook. Can you?
All he does is want to win an MVP, Sam. Please don't take that away from him.
Well, it's been taken away from him many times.
Don't take that away from him. Come on. He's there. It's a good case. You're making a good case because I think
it's sneakily wide open because everyone has kind of a fatal flaw.
Mm-hmm. I think you make – it's like a lot of these guys are playing with other Robins, right, that are going to siphon away. And the Robins that are really good, like – I don't consider LeBron James really a Robin because he's really good. He's not really a Robin, but he's going to siphon away votes that way. With Nikola Jokic, who's going to take votes away?
And Jamal Murray.
Exactly not. And so the Nuggets are a regular season team, in my opinion. They are the epitome of a regular season team. They don't have a great defense, but they have great home court. They have good depth, and they have a really good system that should take them to at least 55 wins, at least.
By the way. The Rockets, Harden's having another terrible game.
Ooh, what's going on there?
7 for 22, 2 of 15 from three.
Jeez.
5 assists, 7 turnovers. But Russ, on the other hand, has been efficient. They are up 4 points against the Pelicans for those who want to keep track. Pelicans are looking pretty sneaky even without Zion. It's going to be a tough one for the Warriors.
Yeah, the Pelicans look really good. That's a team. It's like you play fantasy football, basketball, whatever, post-hype sleepers. They've got a lot of post-hype sleepers on
yes.
the team. A lot of guys.
They're a team that if you're a league pass person, they're one of the 4 or 5 teams you're always flipping to.
It's very fun. Alvin Gentry is doing a great job. By the way, Alvin Gentry, Warriors miss him right now. Warriors miss Alvin Gentry right now.
I don't think Alvin Gentry would be saying we got to play it through Marquise Chris and the elbows. That's just my thought.
Gentry, one of the smartest offensive minds in the league today, and he's just a really good person. And it would have been really fun to see what he could have done with this offense. But yeah, the Pelicans—they're going to be fun this season. Ingram and Lonzo, guys that the Lakers let get away, those guys are going to be good NBA players.
By the way, Brandon Ingram, 13 for 18, 32 points, 10 rebounds tonight.
He's going to be good, man.
He is good.
He's good, yeah.
Actually, 6-5-0, this is interesting. Luka should be in the MVP
top.
Stop. I mean, he's been absurd the first two games. He is good, but nah, a couple years too early.
He is really good, though, huh? I wasn't too sold on Luka Doncic that first year. I don't know why I was not a believer. I wasn't, but he is fantastic. Him and Kristaps are going to be...
I think Luka's amazing.
Yeah.
But no, a second-year player is not winning the MVP.
Trae Young is one of my favorite young players.
Well, they're both good. I mean, why they didn't go 1-2 in some order in the draft. But, hey, if you're a team who's always in the lottery, of course you take a big who can't defend or shoot, right? Moving it forward, if you were to start a franchise today and could sign any player in the NBA, who would it be? Number one, again, Giannis. Number two, Anthony Davis, tied with Luka. And that's it. That's all the GM said. I feel like the GMs always kind of pick it, someone under 25. Like, you're starting a franchise today, okay, you're not taking LeBron or Steph, right? Because you're thinking 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you should I want a guy for the next 3 years. I want to win a title.
Exactly. That's my take. What if you want to win a title in the first 3 years of being a GM and you don't make it to year 8 you're going to get fired?
It's a little high on AD for me too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some young guys I would take over him.
Ooh. Like who?
Luka for one. He's a 20-year-old.
You would rather have Luka Doncic to start your franchise than Anthony Davis?
This is not even a question.
Not even a question. Unreal.
One of them is a 6'8 wing who averages basically a triple double and can shoot from anywhere. The other is a big man.
The other is a big man who can shoot threes, defend the rim, affect both sides of the
court. Can he shoot threes?
Yes, he can shoot threes.
Why does he only shoot 30% on them?
I'm okay with that. He's a floor stretcher. You watch the other defending team, they're going to guard him out to the 3-point line. He can play both sides of the ball. So he's like Kevin Durant.
Why does he never make the playoffs?
Got a lot of injured players around him. He plays with
an all-star caliber guard.
The one time he did make the playoffs, two times. One, he got swept by Steph because it's the Warriors.
And the other time he beat a Portland team. Like, what? I don't know.
As a sixth seed. It's a lower team. And
you
then
do,
played
you
the Warriors.
You do know they had a one-game difference in record, right? 1-1-49, 1-1-48 games.
We're on the radio, Sam. We're not worried about facts. Anthony, by the way, Luka Doncic, did he make the playoffs?
He was 19. I will take the upside.
Should have still
kid.
Made the playoffs.
I will take the upside of the kid so much more.
He is still upside to Anthony Davis. It's not like you're getting
a player who doesn't want to play his best position. Let's be real.
Now that's a problem.
Let's be real. Yeah. I'm going to take the guy I can build around. I also want a ball handler. So, and the text line's right on all these things. So,
text line
I'm trying to think
with me.
Some of the other play. If I was to take a big man, by the way, I've come over to the Andy Lou camp of Towns. I might even take Embiid over AD too.
I like Anthony Davis, and I like that.
Just to be clear, he's an excellent player.
But I am a fan of Karl-Anthony Towns. I really like Karl-Anthony Towns.
It seems like this is the year he realized he needed to shoot the ball a lot more than Wiggins. That's the only change they made on their offense this year. It was, I'm going to take more shots than Wiggins. And he's still not. But, I mean, it's like you're watching him. It's like Towns, 12 for 20 for 35 points.
So
Wiggins,
good.
6 for 20, 15 points.
Karl-Anthony Towns is so good. Now you talk about a shooter, right? Like, Anthony Davis, he may be a shooter, but, like, Karl-Anthony Towns is a legit shooter. Like, that guy can shoot. So, yeah, Karl-Anthony Towns, this is a great discussion. We'll get back to this in the latter part of the hour. We've got Connor Letourneau from The Chronicle coming up next. You are listening to Warriors World Radio, Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
Warriors World Radio continues on 95.7 The Game. Here's Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
That's big.
That's big. You love to hear it. You love to hear that. We're back. Hour three. We're going straight to the end, right? We're going straight to like 7:53 and 43 seconds or something like that. Andy Liu, Sam Esfandiari. We've been talking Warriors, Niners. Right now, we've got Connor Letourneau from the SF Chronicle. Connor, how's it going?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, how's the new Chase? I was there, you know, on game one, but you've been there all season. They got free food now?
Yeah, free food. That's the big perk for me. That's what I'm excited about. Food's not only free, but it's better. You know, it's beautiful. I think it's definitely lived up to the hype. There's a few kinks that they have to work out logistically, which is to be expected from any new arena, but outside of the commute, I'm an East Bay guy. It's been great.
So Lacob's grand plan is to get you all fattened up on the new ice cream. So you write very flattering
ice cream,
things about
the cookies, the brownies at halftime. You know.
So the Warriors are winning 52 games, correct?
I think maybe 62. But, you know.
What is? I just retweeted your tweet. What is going on with Kevon Looney? This seems like something that is a real problem for
the wording does not sound great.
No,
it doesn't. I mean, right now he's only being ruled out for this road trip, these next two games. But the way Steve was talking, you got to think it's going to be significantly longer.
Wow.
Steve was expressing how horrible he feels for Kevon and you know how much this really hurts going forward given their center situation. And just knowing Steve, he doesn't kind of layer it on that thick unless he's genuinely concerned. I think they don't really know what to make of this situation. It's a neuropathic condition, which those of you who aren't familiar with that, I wasn't until earlier today. It's basically a nerve issue where your nerve tissue is damaged in some way, and it can affect other parts of your body. And so apparently it's affecting his hamstring, his right hamstring right now. You know, he missed the entire preseason with a hamstring issue and then re-aggravated it early in the game Thursday, and apparently that stems from a neuropathic issue. So they're meeting with specialists, and there's an entire team convening along with the team doctors, and they're going to try to come up with a plan for him. But this is not good news when there's this much uncertainty about a key player like this, his health, because you guys know the situation at center. Willie Cauley-Stein's out with the foot issue. Alan Smailagic is out with the ankle issue. They're going to start Marcus Chris tomorrow. And then Omari Spellman's going to be backing him up. And those guys are both basically power forwards. So not an ideal situation this early in the season.
Wow. Is this at all similar to what Kawhi Leonard was dealing with the Spurs? That's the only thing I can think of that sounded remotely like this, but that's just me kind of reading what you wrote and listening to what you said.
Yeah, that's kind of where my mind went too. I don't remember the details of that situation, except that there was just a lot of uncertainty. When you have a situation like this that's neuropathic, so from my brief studying of it, it can be really hard to predict what's going to get inflamed next and what's the actual root cause of it, because basically it's a nerve issue that signals the wrong pain signals to different parts of your body. So it can spring up really anywhere. I guess right now it's in the hamstring, but you wonder if they figure out the hamstring, if that's going to pop up somewhere else. Apparently this has been an issue Kevon's been dealing with for a couple of years, kind of under the radar. So, you know, the fact that we're just hearing about it now probably speaks to how well he's been handling it. But you got to think that if they're taking this level of precaution and putting out a press release the way they did, they are legitimately concerned about it.
That is a huge blow. Well, I guess until we know more, there's not much else to say other than, you know, obviously it's not a good thing for the Warriors. Their other big man that we assumed would get the bulk of the center minutes, Willie Cauley-Stein, how close is he?
Yeah, he's making good progress as far as I can tell. He practiced down in Santa Cruz with their G League affiliates today. He's been getting some individual on-court work for the past week. He's getting reevaluated Thursday by team doctors. I think it's within the realm of possibility that he could come back shortly thereafter, which would be a huge boon for this front court. Obviously, he was the projected starter entering the season. He's really their only prototypical center. And so especially with Kevon out an indefinite amount of time, that would be huge. And I asked Steve about Willie today, and Steve went out of his way multiple times to say, we just really need Willie to come back. So they're eager. They're just going to kind of hodgepodge it for the next few games until he comes back, but that will help so much.
Yeah, it is fascinating how much they need a Willie Cauley-Stein, who the Sacramento Kings let go. Sacramento Kings, not looking great this season. Probably one of the teams that are back in the lottery. But give us some good news here. Because Steph Curry didn't look great in game one, but surely there's a rebound coming soon. But what were your thoughts about what they look like against the Clippers? Because, I mean, the Clippers look like they're going to win the title. They look like, you know, by far the favorites. And you know, the Warriors, about a 10-point, you know, give or take pretty much the whole game until the Clippers decided to just turn on the Jets, kind of like the Warriors used to do. What were your kind of thoughts on game one there?
Yeah, honestly, it didn't really surprise me. I was talking to people before the game, and I said, honestly, they're probably going to lose by at least 20. Just being around this team every day in training camp, seeing the overall vibe, you could sense just an apprehension, a nervousness. They knew that there was a lot of work to do with nine newcomers, with so much youth on that roster. It's going to be a work in progress. And to start the season on that stage against a team like the Clippers, even though they are without Paul George, was going to be tough. Now, that being said, the defense was downright atrocious, obviously giving up 46 points in that third quarter. That is a little scary just thinking about what that could mean for their season if they can't significantly improve that. And then the other thing was just getting some help. I mean, the Clippers have always been aggressive defensively, and they just absolutely attacked and blitz after blitz. And Steph is a future Hall of Famer, but he is just a human being, and he was struggling for stretches of that game. And you got to wonder what Steve can really cue up to help him. I mean, outside of more screens, they don't really have enough scoring options to really warrant a lot of defensive attention outside of D'Angelo Russell. One thing that will help that we haven't talked about is Alec Burks might come back tomorrow, and he's actually probably their third best scorer outside of Steph and D'Angelo Russell. So that might take the load off a little bit for Steph.
You mentioned, obviously, the Clippers look like not just the best defense, but the best team in the league, and you know that's going to be a problem for Steph. What things do you think they can do beyond Alex Burke coming back to kind of free up Steph? Because this team's going to kind of go as he goes.
Yeah, I think, obviously, they're going to get creative with how they use Steph and pick and roll situations and just different type of ISO situations and being creative with how they use picks. But the big thing for me is they need D'Angelo Russell to be a consistent threat, because he has shown in his brief time with the Warriors that he can fill it up for stretches, but he needs to keep the pedal on the metal and keep it going over the course of a full game. You know, he started out Thursday and he scored the Warriors' first 10 points, and then he missed his next seven shots. And it really feels like they are at their best. Steph and D'Angelo are at their best when they're operating on their own, when they're not necessarily working in tandem. They need to be able to be dynamic as a duo, and that will help Steph so much if they really learn how to complement each other and work off each other's strengths. Now, that's going to take time. I still think it's possible, but it's still very much a work in progress.
The other Warriors core player we haven't really discussed, Draymond Green. It sounds like the nerve thing in his elbow was just kind of a one-time thing. But are they at all concerned about him? Because between preseason and that first game, he has not looked all that much like Draymond Green.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if anyone in the organization's worried. But one thing I will say, just having covered Draymond for going on 4 years now, he is a guy who needs stakes. He's a guy who needs something to play for. And I've just noticed a different element to his personality this entire preseason into the regular season. I don't think he's excited about the fact that he's in somewhat of a rebuilding situation, that he's having to kind of play that mentor role for a bunch of young guys who maybe aren't necessarily ready to play as many minutes as they're playing. He's obviously a guy who's the ultimate competitor and used to winning throughout his life. And I wonder, you know, how he's going to handle mentally having to, you know, potentially navigate a bunch of losses this season. And I also wonder how he's going to handle hold up physically, you know, having to play big minutes and having to be out there night in and night out. It's going to be fascinating to see, but that's a huge question mark I have. And the other thing is, nothing against Draymond, but I kind of feel like he's a guy whose his strengths are really accentuated or maximized when he's around other great players. And now that he's not surrounded by as many all-star caliber players, I wonder if he can tap into his true potential as often.
Yeah, that's a tough one. We've got Connor Letourneau on SF Chronicle, who just said that Draymond's probably going to request a trade from the Warriors because they're not winning enough. So
you know, you're going to get people fired. And that's just not nice.
The producers are looking at me like, what? What just happened? No. Come on, I'm joking. People are just going to cut like that clip right there and just send it on the timeline. I'm with you. I think people are worried about Draymond, his play, but really, you know, Sam was saying earlier, kind of with a situation where, you know, he basically had to yell at Glenn Robinson to get out of the corner so that Steph Curry can shoot a three. And it was the right play, But he also had to kind of tell the guy to do that, right? He also and that's going to happen a lot more this season, really offensively and especially on defense. So he can't guard anyone, or he can't guard everyone. Kevon Looney being out for a while here, it's going to be even tougher. Do you think, my question for you is, do you think, because Steve Kerr came out in the after the game, after the blowout, and said, hey, you know, get used to it. You know, this might happen a lot this season. What's with that? What was with that message?
I think he's just kind of trying to manage expectations. And we've seen him do that in other ways this season, the way he came out and used the word unlikely, talking about Clay's return. I don't think that necessarily meant that they really believe there's a more than 50% chance that Clay won't return this season. I think that was just Steve trying to kind of get ahead of the curve and quiet a lot of the speculation about, you know, Clay coming back on a white horse and saving the team, getting them to the playoffs. I think, you know, his comment post game Thursday was kind of along that same vein, where he was just saying, you know what, this could be a tough year. You know, we this could be our reality. I'm not saying we're going to lose by 20 plus every night, but, you know, there's going to be a lot of growing pains. And, you know, Steve is a guy who wants to under-promise and over-deliver. So, but I also think that there is an element of just kind of not acceptance, but just coming to grips with reality, which is this probably is going to be a transitional year. As much as everyone wanted to say, oh, once Clay, you know, just keep things together enough for Clay to come back, the reality is we're already seeing, you guys just talked about, the fact that we're talking this much about the importance of Willie Cauley-Stein coming back from a foot injury speaks to how epically fragile this team is. And there are going to be other injuries. There are going to be other setbacks. And here we are entering game two, and some people are already sounding the alarms. That's just what this season is going to be. And I think Steve's bracing for that, just like everyone else is.
Yeah, a lot of people are kind of expecting a lottery team now at this point after game one. But hey, that's part of being on the radio. That's part of being a fan. I think it's good. My upside thoughts here, and I want to hear you on this, is this team should have enough offense to make them a playoff team. Do you think that D'Angelo Russell can take that step? Because that's really what they're going to need here. I mean, the more guys that sit out, they really need D'Angelo Russell to take that step. Steph is going to be Steph. But do you think he has that ability? Do you think the Warriors will? Do you think the Warriors will allow him to tap into that ability? Because I think a lot of the season is riding on Steve Kerr as well.
Yeah, I think they're going to ask Steph to be Steph as much as possible until it gets past a certain point where it's just clear that they're not going to make the playoffs, and there's no real point in pushing him any further. I mean, there's been no plan set for rest days or load management, because they realize that to even make the playoffs, they're probably going to need Steph to play at an MVP caliber this season. And so they're going to only change that expectation if it becomes clear that they need to. But I think you make a good point about D'Angelo Russell. I think he really needs to be a potent number two option on a consistent basis, because the reality of the situation is that this team is not going to be good defensively. I mean, they don't have enough defensive pieces. They lost probably four of their top five defensive players from last season. Their only proven defender is Draymond Green. Who's their second best defender? Kevon Looney, who's now injured. So who's the second best healthy defender? Glenn Robinson the third. I mean, that's the situation.
It might be Steph.
They're just hoping to not be a bottom 10 defense. That's the only way they're going to have a chance to make the playoffs, because I do think they're going to score plenty, but they're going to be so poor defensively that it might not even matter.
Yeah.
So Connor, are you on the road trip? Are you in OKC right now?
Yeah, I'm at every single game, guys.
Well, I don't know if they're, you know, skimping on you on the early road trips or anything here. So what does a beat writer do in OKC on a Saturday night?
I love that.
Good question. I actually have a couple of friends in Oklahoma City randomly, so I'm going to see them. But
no clubs, huh?
You know, actually, Oklahoma City has a few good bars and restaurants. There's the Bricktown District right next to the arena that's actually kind of fun. So I actually think that Oklahoma City is underrated in that department.
Yeah.
What are your top five road trip cities? For a beat guy who's there just for one night, what are your top five stops?
Well, New York City, number one, obvious. Number two, Toronto. I absolutely love Toronto. Number three, New Orleans, for obvious reasons. Number four, L.A.
L.A. four. Oof.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably have L.A. outside of my top five because I've been there
enough times.
Yeah,
I mean, I can understand that for sure. But,
Miami?
You know, if you're on an NBA beat for long enough, you've been to all these cities enough times that it doesn't really matter. Number five's kind of up to for grabs. I like Chicago. I actually like some of the smaller cities like Memphis and places like that. So that one's really four on down and is kind of debatable.
Wow. So Connor Letourneau, SF Chronicle, he enjoys Memphis as well as Oklahoma City. All right.
I like some good barbecue. What can I say?
Yeah, that's true. I actually have never had it. I'm missing out. I need to do that. Well, hey, thanks for coming on, man. We'll have you on soon. I appreciate it.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
Houston Astros hit a grand slam.
You know, neither you or I have done the beat. I think we're, you know, would you ever be up for it, Andy? Forget the idea where everyone has to consider, you know, compensation and that sort of stuff. Would you be up for doing it?
You know, real quick, all guests appear on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls, connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. That's a great question. You know, I actually interviewed for a job at San Jose. I guess we had Wes Goldberg on earlier, San Jose.
The Bay Area News Group?
Yeah, yeah. So Marcus Thompson, who... love Marcus. He's my favorite. He referred me over there and was like, hey, if you want to, this was 2015, I want to say, 2015. Hey, if you want to interview for a job, like I put in a great word for you, probably get it. I couldn't do it. Just, I mean, that compensation. Yeah. I was younger. I wanted to get my career started, but my goodness, can you imagine all the games? Like, I'm not a guy that wants to be in Memphis, Sam.
I think it'd be fun, but
see the world.
I'm trying to. Everyone who's done it has come from the same. You know, the charm wears off quickly when you're just going from airport to airport.
So I think the take is that hey, if you do it for, it's like quitting a job and traveling, right? You do it for a year or two, a year. Hey, amazing, right? You needed to do that, but it's not sustainable. So I guess same with being a beat reporter is hey, you do it for a year or two. It's great, but really not sustainable. I don't know. Like, can you imagine? Like, I think being a baseball beat writer is probably the hardest one. Can you imagine that one?
I actually disagree.
No,
I think baseball is easier than basketball because baseball they do series.
Mm-hmm.
You're in two cities a week, mm-hmm. So you're in Houston Monday through Thursday, then you go to Kansas City Friday through Saturday.
But what if you have a family? You know, yeah, kids.
Well, that's a reason most beat people are under 35.
Yeah, okay,
it's fair. Like you. You start there, but anyway, what I'm saying is, baseball. You're spending 3 to 4 days in a city. Basketball's got to be the worst because you travel every other day, and you're only in the city for a day and a half.
I do think I'm so glad you asked. I do think I do regret it. If I had a choice to do it again, I'd probably do it for like a year. I think it's worth it to try it out for a year to go to all the cities. Like you know, me at 23 in Miami.
Relax,
Harden. I just want to make friends with Draymond Green and
relax,
see what's
going on. Harden. You're like Harden during the 2012 finals here. showing up to the games, not in the best game shape.
Never in the best game shape. But
all right, well. we got 15 minutes. I want to use those 15 minutes. Let's go back to that NBA GM list. So NBA GMs voted on various questions, and NBA.com published it right before the season started. We did the MVP. They have... 52% say Giannis will win MVP. You and I kind of, I don't know. Let's go back to this, actually. I think it's interesting. There's no one with a strong, compelling case right now, or everyone has a fatal flaw. Giannis, Milwaukee looks like they could be regressing. They regress, not going to look good for him. Steph, Steph might be playing with G Leaguers by December. not a good sign, you know? AD, I don't think you or I could see another player on a LeBron team winning the MVP. Particularly if LeBron's playing the point guard and everything's run through him.
Then we've
I could see AD winning Defensive Player of the Year, though. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he will, but I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Then you got Kawhi, who is Mr. Load Management. I mean, I think Kawhi could win the MVP if he plays 72 games.
Yeah, he's played three in a row. He's playing right now. It's three games in a row.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if he plays that many
games.
Right?
Yeah, we'll see. You got your guy next.
Then there's Jokic, who, like, he might have a better case just because everyone I mentioned above might not have as good a case we think. It might honestly be LeBron, though. I think if the Lakers get, like, a two or three seed, it's going to go LeBron.
Yeah, you think there's enough momentum there. L.A. media, it's LeBron James. It's going to be his last MVP, right? Like, he's getting to the tail end of his career. They want to give him one. He probably should have won a few more than he has, like Derrick Rose. Like, come on. So maybe they want to give him, like, a lifetime MVP achievement award kind of thing. I'm not saying that I would do it.
It's just very wide open. There's not, like... I mean,
he has the
narrative.
I don't
see no one on Philly's listed. I guess Embiid.
Yeah, nah.
But I don't know. No. He's already missing games, yeah. too. Yeah. So
Dame's in the Steph situation, right? Like, he's not as good as Steph, but he needs a team that wins like 58 games, and they're just not good enough.
If you're starting a franchise today and could sign any player, one with 86%, Giannis, 86% of 30 votes, I believe, is 24.
Good math.
And then the other two with three votes each were AD and Luka Doncic. It's basically like best players under 25 you'd want to build around. Are they missing anyone? Is there anyone under not listed in those three you'd rather have? You'd want to have maybe not more, but like someone else you should think about. Like, I mean, Trae Young's exciting, but I'm not.
Trae Young had 39, 9, and 7.
But I'm not taking him over these guys.
Yeah, well, I just think it's a little much to have Luka in there as a top three guy. Second year in the league. Yeah, he's great, but
6'8" point guard who can shoot from the logo.
Listen, I hope if you're 6'8" and you're a wing slash point guard, you can play some defense. Here's
my Luka take. he's Harden 3 inches taller without the club addiction. Jesus. I take that.
7:42 PM. It came to hour three, but we're here.
All right, now we're on to the next one, just to recap for the people who missed us an hour ago on it. All right. Which player is most likely to have a breakout season? So this is actually pretty widespread. No one got 20% of the vote.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, they listed everyone. My favorite one is someone voted LeBron James. I don't even know what that means. Like, what's LeBron going to do this year? It's like, now he's hit another level.
Not five, not six, not seven.
You think Rob Pelinka voted? You think Rob Pelinka was like, hey, LeBron James?
Yes. Please don't leave. Please don't.
Please
leave.
Don't leave. Please don't leave. Who are you? Who's your favorite? I got a couple guys.
Well, we should list them. So De'Aaron Fox, that would have been maybe my vote before the season started, but the Kings are off to a terrible start.
Terrible.
Jaren Jackson Jr.
No.
Maybe next year. Let's get Memphis get a little more talent around him. Yep. I think he'll be good. But yeah, Jason Tatum. I like Tatum, but. You know, maybe not.
The next guy is the guy.
Ingram?
That's a guy. That's the guy.
And also on the receiving votes is Lonzo Ball. So
yeah, but Ingram, he's got the ability to average like 25
points.
Ooh,
I like this from the text line, Donovan Mitchell. I don't know if we count him as a breakout, but he's had two really efficient games to start the season. If he makes All-Star this year,
correct.
Is it officially a breakout?
That is. If he's an All-Star in the West... That is a breakout because that means
he might because, I mean, okay, Steph, no mm-hmm. Clay, Harden, probably Russ and Dame.
Mm-hmm. That's four.
Probably take two more. Mm-hmm. They'll take one more guard at least, maybe two. There's a chance there.
Yeah, maybe. But that means he'd have to be obviously the number one offensive option on the Utah Jazz and the closer on the Utah Jazz,
well,
which he might be.
He is already.
Well, he is the closer, but is he the closer on that team, right? Against Houston, he kind of choked. But that's
to be
expected.
We should say, last year he was playing with Rubio
correct.
And Crowder, correct. Two guys that Warrior fans will know what it's like to play with good players who don't get guarded on defense.
Correct.
And Donovan Mitchell's not Steph Curry, so
correct.
Kind of constricted him. Now he's got two guys who can shoot the ball in Mike Conley and Bogdanovich. At minimum, you have to guard him. You're not going to leave Mike Conley wide open.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Mitchell is a good one. I like Brandon Ingram, I think, is
I like
is a
Ingram,
good one.
Too. Ingram might be the one.
Why is Zach Collins on here, Sam?
Shea?
That's
we'll see Shea tomorrow.
Shea's a great one. Because he's on a really good basketball team if they stay together. But he's in a good situation.
Siakam's silly because he just won most improved. and then Devin Booker, I mean, I don't know. Is breakout season mean it's the year he's going to start playing defense?
Yeah, some of these guys. Oh, we got some good questions coming up next. Go with the next one. Who's the best point guard in the NBA?
90% for Steph. That's 27 out of 30 GMs. Now we got to find the two GMs who didn't vote for him. One voted for LeBron, which is kind of a you can't argue it.
Rob Pelinka is just unreal.
You can't argue LeBron is not the best point guard in the NBA if you consider him a point guard, but I just don't know if he, you know. And then two GMs voted for Damian Lillard. I love me some Dame. But come on.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
The text line saying Kentavious Caldwell Pope for most improved player.
Yeah, that's kick him out. Block him.
Can't do it.
Block him.
No, this is my
line.
New favorite texter. I want him to call in. Call in guy.
925. Who's a 92? Where's 925?
I got a 925 number. Best shooting guard in the NBA. 86 for Harden, 7% for Paul George.
Paul George is a shooting guard?
Yeah, if Kawhi's small forward. I mean, it doesn't really matter, does it?
It doesn't make no sense. You could just put anybody at shooting guard at that point. But James Harden is the best shooting guard.
Would you rather have Harden or Paul George? I know which one you'd rather have on the Warriors team.
What am I doing with these guys? Am I starting a franchise?
I think if your end goal is to win a title, which would you rather have?
I think James Harden is better.
He's better.
I think James Harden's better, and I'd rather have the better player. You're killing me, Sam. That is so tough.
I'd rather have the one that I know will show up, even if he probably can't win a title as your number one guy. I think Paul George can win a title as the number two, though, as the Klay Thompson.
Yeah, he's going to win a title this season as the number two. So,
good one from the text line. Trae Young, most improved.
There you go.
That's not bad either. I think Trae can make All-Star in the East this year.
He spelled the name right, though, huh? Trey with the T-R-A-Y. We could do better than that.
Best small forward. Now it's getting spicy. 62 took Kawhi. Only 24 took LeBron. 14% voted Giannis. So 14% of the GMs don't know what position Giannis plays.
Sam,
are we ready to say Kawhi is better than LeBron?
Kawhi is better than LeBron.
Andy Liu going on the record.
Kawhi's better
it's officially
than LeBron.
Time.
Yeah, Kawhi's better than LeBron. Kawhi's better than LeBron. Kevin Durant is better than LeBron. Giannis is not better than LeBron. But, yeah, those guys are better than LeBron. They've been better than LeBron for the last 2 years. Well, Kawhi. you can't count Kawhi the last 2 years ago. But Kevin Durant's been better player than LeBron for the past 3 years.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Best power forward. By the way, the funniest thing about this is LeBron is in the top three in three different positions, which kind of sums up why he's still really, really good.
Yeah.
Best power forward, Giannis, 59%. AD, 28%.
Wrong position.
LeBron, 10%. Oh, shout out the GM who voted LaMarcus Aldridge, 3%. You think
RC,
that's Pelinka?
You think that's Pelinka again?
I think it's Pelinka. I think he sees LaMarcus Aldridge might be coming up as a free agent. And he's just trying to collect players who all want to play the same position.
Rob Pelinka is blowing this NBA survey out of the water. He is crushing it.
It's got to be Giannis or LeBron, right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
It's probably LeBron.
By the way, you know who would love LaMarcus Aldridge?
A Stephen Kerr.
He would love LaMarcus Aldridge.
I mean, I see Marquise Chris is starting tomorrow. I would love LaMarcus Aldridge. So let's not get too picky right now, my man.
That's true. Let's throw him that max. Huh? Let's throw him another one. I don't even know how the salary cap works, but we're going to get him.
The Astros up 8-1 with the bases loaded. Look like they're going to get the Nationals back for that game two beating.
Max Scherzer against Garrett Cole? Can you name a better two starters in the league? It's incredible.
I know what I'm doing tomorrow night.
Yeah, that is going to be a fantastic game.
Sorry, Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, well, who's out? Mahomes not playing. By the way, the NFL has got to do a better job than this. Guy dislocated his kneecap or something. He's practicing, and they wouldn't rule him out until Friday. That is embarrassing. That is absolutely embarrassing.
Well, teams make those decisions, but
we got to do better than that.
I don't even know how he's practicing.
It's true.
Like, I would have, if I read a report like he's rehabbing, he's on the bike, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah. Well, the team ruled him out. They ended up ruling him out. But that's like, come on. Let's go down this
list. Best center. This one's actually interesting.
Yeah.
Jokic 1, Embiid 2, AD 3, and then receiving votes, Giannis. says something about his versatility. I mean, he'd be dominant at center. Towns receiving votes. So let's take Giannis off of this because not center. Those four centers, they're the four best in the NBA, right? We're not forgetting anyone?
No. Yeah, those are the four best in the NBA, yeah. Drummond came through the airwaves here in my ear. Andre Drummond. 30-20, game one of the season.
I mean, he's nice, but not on this level.
I think Jokic is right. I think the GMs are right. I think Nikola Jokic is the best center in the NBA. I do. I think Joel Embiid is good, but, you know, a couple things. Can't stay healthy, can't shoot.
I think Jokic is the one out of these guys who's most suited to be the first option, the guy you build a team around. These other guys, you need a perimeter player feeding them. Like, Embiid needs a perimeter guy who can create.
Yeah, Ben Simmons kind of perfect for that.
Except for the no shooting.
Yeah,
So not actually not perfect for it in any way. AD is interesting because he's probably the best defender of the bunch when he's locked in.
Yeah, he didn't
just because he can. Just because he can. I mean, he can guard point guards.
Yeah.
Towns is finally playing up to his potential consistently right now.
Is Towns the best offensive player of this bunch?
He's definitely the best scorer. When you throw in the fact that Jokic is like one of the three best passers in the league, it's a little more interesting.
There you go.
It's like comparing LeBron to KD in some ways. Like, LeBron can't score like KD could score, you know? But then when you consider he can just control the game with his passing, it's hard to – and I'm talking about when they're both in their primes. I'm not talking about in 2018 when it was very clear KD was better.
Would you – the Warriors are going to be – because this is Warriors World Radio. You know, the Warriors are going to be – we got a few minutes here. I want to get your take on this, Sam. A couple guys are going to be free agents here, or they can request a trade. Mainly, I'm thinking about Joel Embiid and Karl-Anthony Towns. I think AD's probably going to re-sign it in L.A.
They're both a ways away.
If you had a choice.
By the way, the text line brings up Porzingis. Let's see him have a full healthy year, but sure, he has the potential to be on that list too.
Who would you rather have on the Warriors?
Embiid or Towns?
I think those would be the two options, correct? I know Steph loves Embiid. Embiid loves Steph. I know Karl-Anthony Towns. I just like Karl-Anthony Towns, so I just throw it in. But he might not be happy in Minnesota.
I mean, he's the best shooting big man I've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't just shoot. He's also got inside game.
And he can be a good defender on a good team, on a smart team. So who would you rather have?
I mean, my cop-out answer is I'll take whichever one.
Correct.
And I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I mean, Embiid's elite defensively. But Embiid has never played 70 games.
Yeah. I think I'd take Towns.
Has Towns ever been hurt?
Never.
Knock on wood. Never. You know?
Yeah.
Good for him.
I think I'd take Towns. I think you can coach up some defense. I think a couple years from now, Draymond's not going to be Draymond anymore, but I think he's still smart enough to coach. I think you turn him into a good defender, but that skill set is perfect with, you know, Klay Thompson and
Steph. That skill set's perfect with every team.
With every team. Except for the Timberwolves.
Except for he plays with a wing. He's... Yeah. Anyway.
Yep. Andrew Tatum. Jason Wiggins.
Oh, he wishes it was Tatum instead of Wiggins. All right, you're listening to Warriors World Radio. We got one more minute. Came a little early.
Ooh. Pause. we cut that one out, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay. So All right, Sam, let's finish out with this. We got a minute left. Warriors play tomorrow against the Thunder. Looney's going to be out, looks like, for a while. You think they're going to win? You think that's a game that they're going to win?
Here's my better question. More winnable game, OKC or New Orleans? I think they should split those two games because it's a road. Which one do you want more?
Want more?
Which one do you think is more attainable?
Yeah, I think it'd probably be the Pelicans. I think Steven Adams is just too big, and I think that...
Yeah, I mean, if the Warriors had their normal centers, I'd say OKC is more winnable because they can... But Adams probably going to get 30 rebounds tomorrow.
And with that, you have listened to Warriors World Radio. Andy Liu, Sam Esfandiari. We will see you next time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.